1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Daizen Maida extends his Celtic contract. St Mirren make their third summer signing in Conor McMenamin. And Hibs striker Harry McCurdy is ruled out for 6 months. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, good evening, Andrew. As usual, all clubs are busy trying to get some transfer players in, trying to work in a squad, trying to build. Obviously, pre-season games are off and running. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's got the best preparation. You said there at the top of the show, Celtic. I think that's terrific news. You know, tying another one of their stars down, 4-year contract. He's been absolutely terrific since he came into Celtic. Ange Postecoglou loved him. And you can understand that Brendan Rodgers will be the same because of his work rate and everything he puts into it. And obviously, on the other side of the city, Rangers fans desperate to get more players in. I think that'll be happening in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, the Cyril Dessers one is interesting because it seemed as if it was all wrapped up and done. But here we are at 6 o'clock, a few days after it seemed as if it was wrapped up and still no announcement yet. Do you think Rangers fans will be getting worried or not?
I'm a bit surprised, I've got to be honest. I thought the deal would have been over the line and done. But in today's market, it's not just a case of sitting down with a player and saying, right, there's your call. Contract, there's your wages, a lot of things to be discussed, a lot of things to iron out. So there might be just a wee hiccup somewhere, but I'm sure that Rangers are very confident that they're going to get this deal over the line. That would be their, what, six? So obviously Michael Beale's wanting his job, his work done very, very quickly. He wants to prepare, he wants to get started, obviously. He's obviously stamping his own mark in the squad with, hopefully for him, 6 players come in. So I would be interesting to see, but I think Rangers will certainly get that done the next day or two.
Well, those are the thoughts of Gordon Dalziel, and we want to hear your thoughts as well. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that wants to react to that news that Daizen Maida has extended his contract until 2027. Maybe you're a Rangers fan out there that's wondering why there has been no announcement so far on Cyril Dessers. Are you starting to get a bit concerned, or do you think that one is absolutely fine? And what do you want to see Michael Beale do next? St Mirren have been making their moves in the transfer window as well today. Conor McMenamin, who really looked like Stephen Robinson's top target, he is in. He signed on a 2-year deal as well. So maybe fans of the Buddies want to speak about that. 0141 951 1025. There was also some news coming out of Hibs today as well that Harry McCurdy has been ruled out for 6 months. I think Hibs' statement was quite ambiguous. They didn't say exactly what it was. It was just pre-season checks. I think it's now come to light that it is a heart issue, so it's the type of thing that you need to take very seriously, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, we certainly do. It's a big blow for the boy, obviously, with his career there at Hibs, but you've got to look after your health first and foremost, Andrew. He'll get the best medical treatment, obviously with the staff and everyone there concerned, and as you quite rightly say, we wish him all the very best in his recovery.
0141 951 1025 if you want to get involved, and as usual you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB as well. Why don't we start with what is, I suppose, the big news story of the day. Daizen Maida has extended his Celtic contract. He's followed Kyogo's lead in extending his deal until 2027. And that'll be another one you think Celtic fans will be very happy with. Of course, the Kyogo news came out a couple of days ago and Daizen Maida following suit.
Yeah, it's very important, especially after you see the situation with Jota. Nobody really seen that one coming. All of a sudden, Jota's out the club. So they're looking at their players, they're looking at their star players, and they've decided to tie them down. As I said earlier, I think it's great business because I think Brendan Rodgers will absolutely love working with Maida. I think he's a real team player. He can obviously chip in with goals. He works very, very hard indeed. And I think that's a very good bit of business today for Celtic.
I think there had been a bit of a narrative when Ange Postecoglou left that some people were thinking, well, you know, he was the reason that these players had gone to Celtic, and now with Ange Postecoglou leaving, would the Japanese players and you know, South Korean in terms of Oh as well, would they want to hang about at Celtic? But it's a clear statement from the players and from the club that Kyogo and Maida certainly at the moment are here to stay.
To be honest with you, what I think helps for Celtic in that situation and why players are tying themselves down to longer contracts is I think they're excited working under Brendan Rodgers, because Brendan Rodgers has got a very good reputation of improving players. He's very tactically, you know, he's very good tactically on the training ground and on, obviously, in a match day. I think these lads are excited. Okay, they did come for Postecoglou. They had a great working relationship. They were very successful. But when somebody like Brendan Rodgers steps back into the building, I think as a player you'd be excited to wonder, work under him.
Well, let's hear from you on the phones. 01419511025. Ian is a Celtic fan up first in Greenock. Ian, what do you make of that news about Daizen Maida?
Ah, brilliant, Andrew. Hi, Gordon. And I'm not in Greenock, Andrew. But, we're on our way to Silverstone to work at the Grand Prix.
Not too bad.
You might see us on the TV because we're in the VIP tent working.
Might bump into Mark Wilson while you're down there, I think. Is that not what he's doing this weekend?
Yeah, Mark, I think
I hope that's not a secret because I've just said it all.
But, sure, I'll let you give a wee shout out to my driver, who's obviously, I don't drive, Big Ian, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Bobby and Kevin. Have a great weekend.
There we go, this has turned into GBX all
of a
sudden.
Yeah, mate, you should have just made up and said, I'm going to give a big shout out to my driver, Lewis. That would have been down better.
We'll sort that out, Gordon, with Lewis. Hopefully a couple of autographs and that. I'll get a gift to the gal. But anyway, on the topic, Daizen Maida, obviously Kyogo signed last week, Gordon, Andrew. What a bit of business tying the boys up. He's setting a would you call it out there, a stall that he means business. And I think we've got one of the best boys in the game to discover these boys, the young boy Lobo, who was at your old team, Gordon, Man City. And what a bit of business to bring Mark Lowell in. And I would say Ange Postecoglou had a lot to do with that, with young Mark coming in. Is that right, Gordon?
I don't really know, to be quite honest with you, but I think you're right. I think that Celtic, especially when the disappointment of Postecoglou, and I think the fans were quite upset, he left and he decided to go down to Tottenham and obviously take over the reins there. But I think the Celtic board have worked very hard in the sense of, I think they've made the right appointment under Brendan Rodgers. I think you're seeing players commit to the club because they're excited to go and work with Brendan Rodgers as well. If you're a Celtic fan, I would be probably sitting hoping that Hatate was the next one I would hear the news that he's committed to a new 4-year deal as well.
Yeah, is that something you go along with, Ian, with Kyogo and Maida tying down their contracts? Would you expect or do you hope that Rio Hatate is the next one?
Well, Andrew, that was my next. I would like to tie the other three, obviously Hatate, the important one. The boy Kobayashi, Gordon, obviously he played as a centre forward, and a boy was a bit nervous, and I like the boy Iwata. So I think it's looking good at Parkhead, and as I said to Chris, the producer, boys, that we need a strong Rangers. I don't care what anybody says. We need a challenge. And I think there will be a challenge. But
what makes you think that there will be a challenge just in terms of the business Rangers have done this summer so far?
They've brought in players, Andrew. Are they tried and tested? Well, obviously they've played for other teams. But these guys have got to hit the ground running. Michael Beale has let a lot of players go. And I think there's other players going. But if you look at across the city, my club, Celtic, Brendan Rodgers has got the team knitted together to what Ange Postecoglou created over the last 2 years. Now, five trophies out of six Ange got. But the dynamics is there. Everything is in place. Are we going to lose any more players? I don't think so, but never say never, because the transfer window's open till, I think it's
the 31st of
August, Gordon.
Yeah, Ian, you've got to admit, and I'm glad you've come on and said that, because I do like the fact that Rangers are starting again under Michael Beale. I've always said from the word go that he needs time to get his own players in. He's lost a lot of good players, a lot of experienced players that were big names for a club. And you're right, you just wonder what challenge that Rangers are going to be up against Celtic, because they're in a different position. Rangers under Michael Beale are basically rebuilding with the amount of players because of the outgoings, you know, of the favourites, McGregor's and goalkeepers like that, and Arfield's and experienced guys that have went out the door in the summer. So it's completely different. Brendan Rodgers has walked into a terrific side. He's not lost, you know, a handful of players. Okay, Jota, I think, was a disappointing one for all the Celtic fans. But I just see that the fact that Brendan Rodgers is in there and he's committing players to four-year deals, I think it does make for an exciting season ahead. And you're right, Rangers, the new signings will need to hit the ground running.
Because of the signings Rangers have made, 5, if Cyril Dessers is confirmed, that will be 6. They're more of an unknown entity going into next season. Will Celtic take some comfort in the fact that they have that continuity? Yes, it's a different manager. Yes, Jota has left, but basically all the players from that treble winning side, Jota side, will still be there next season. You've then got the likes of Kyogo and Maeda, who Celtic fans know will definitely be there next season. Does that help? Does that
I think it gives, of course, because you've looked at the impact of these guys last season going and winning the treble. Kyogo, the amount of goals. He's obviously got used to Scottish football. He'll only get better. There's a settled side. So they're tried and tested. It's different for Rangers because Michael Beale has probably done his work. He's identified the sort of player that he wants to take to into Rangers. But it's up to him then to put that jigsaw puzzle together and hope that they can hit the ground running and really put up a challenge to Celtic this year.
Ian, what are the next areas that Brendan Rodgers needs to look at in the Celtic team after tying down Kyogo and Maeda?
Gordon will agree with me. I would say we probably need another player in the middle of the park. I know the boy McTominay's been mentioned, but it's a lot of money, Andrew and Gordon. I think we need another centre-back. I think it's a boy for Holland, I think, or Belgium, the Maki Jumber or something like that. They reckon he's a Wesley Fofana too. I think Fofana went to Chelsea for $75 million for Leicester.
Yep.
He's only 21, Andrew. Do we need another centre-forward? Possibility, yes. Jamie Vardy on loan. That would be a big shout, Andrew. I think he's 35, 36, but he's still a machine.
Do you see Brendan Rodgers basically going down that road now? I know what you're saying. Jamie Vardy probably could come to Scotland and score goals. I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think I maybe also saw
a story as well that he'd been linked with a move to Saudi Arabia and they said he wasn't interested because he wanted to stay at Leicester and help them get to the Premier League. So that may shut down any move away from Leicester whatsoever.
And plus the fact, I would imagine his contract is a fair amount of money. I think Brendan Rodgers is more interested in bringing the younger players in now, developing them, because he's come out and he's told the Celtic fans that he's committed to the long-term structure now. So I don't see Celtic going down that road with Jamie Vardy.
Well, thank you to Ian. 0141 951 1025. If you want to be up next, let's hear a bit from Joe Hart, shall we? He's been speaking today to the media. Let's hear him first of all talking about, I think this was before the Dyson Maeda deal was tied up, but he was speaking about how vital he thought it was that Kyogo has been tied down to a new deal.
That's huge. What a great bit of news that is. You know, love him as a person. He's a beautiful person, and he's an exceptional footballer. He's been brilliant since he came in. Really, really shone for us last year in big moments, and he really sets the tone for a high-pressing, exciting football team. He's loved here, and obviously he's felt that because he's wanted to commit his, you know, real important time in his career to this club, and we appreciate that.
Is that a bit of a statement for the club, do you think, and their ambitions going forward that they've managed to keep a hold of in this summer?
I think so, but I think the statement of the club that if you want to be here and you're playing well, then you know you're welcome, and if you don't, then we'll look for someone who does.
Yeah, it's 54 goals in 83 games that Kyogo has got for Celtic. How important is it to have someone that has guaranteed you goals for the last two seasons, not having to replace that big goal scorer, which is, you know, a lot of pressure?
Yeah, because if he had to leave Celtic, you look at the amount of goals that would have been out of the team. And that's very hard to replace, Andrew. He's been absolutely brilliant. You hear Joe Hart talking about him. I think he echoes the same as probably all his teammates. They appreciate his work rate as well. That's one thing you can't complain about, even when he's maybe going through a period that he's not scoring as many goals, which isn't very often. But I also think that because of last season, because of the confidence, because of the amount of goals he scored, I just see him getting better this year. I really do. I think Celtic fans must be over the moon, because when Ange Postecoglou leaves to go to Tottenham and the money that they've got available, you know, I think a lot of Celtic fans thought that there might be a situation where they lose Kyogo. But he showed that he wants to be part of it. He shows he wants to play under Brendan Rodgers. He's obviously hungry for more goals next year and success. So I think it's a great bit of business.
An interesting bit that stuck out to me at the end there was Joe Hart saying that he felt it was a statement from the club that if you want to be here and you're playing well, then you're welcome. And if you don't, then the club will just look for someone else that does. Celtic have been quite efficient in that of late in terms of Josip Juranovic looked as if he wanted out. Celtic sold him, brought in Alistair Johnson. The same with Giakoumakis, got his move away, brought in O. Jota has done the same. He's gone away, obviously, once wanted the money, going to Saudi Arabia, and Celtic have allowed that to happen, and you would expect would bring in a replacement. It's a cycle that they don't seem afraid of going to, losing players that are regular starters or big contributors.
No, and I think it goes through the team there when you listen to an experienced goalkeeper in Joe Hart, basically saying, look, if you want to be here, you're playing well, you're doing the right things, you'll be rewarded, we want to keep you. If it's not the case, then I don't think Celtic are a club that worry about the type of players they lose, because they have got a great knack of bringing in good replacements. Because if you look at their squad's very, very strong indeed. A lot of the players have hit that ground running. They were so successful last year. And that's where I think the big challenge has been thrown out to Michael Beale. He will need to have the same impact with his players that Ange Postecoglou got when he brought them in at the beginning.
Well, Rangers fans, we'll be taking a look at the Cyril Dessers situation next. So give us a call, 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you can join us as well by phoning 0141 951 1025. I must say my heart did drop when you walked into the office today earlier on, Gordon, to realise that we are wearing the same top. It's a different colour, but it's the same top. And with Gordon Duncan always describing you as dressing as a frustrated PE teacher, I now feel I need to throw this out. I can't.
But you suit it a lot better than me, Andrew. You can pull it off.
Oh, there we go. That's a nice compliment. I didn't think it was going to go that way. I'll
throw this one in the bin.
There we go. That's all right. Just as well, there's no cameras on us right now. That's not going anywhere. I didn't even need to mention it, but you know what? I thought it was quite funny. There we go. But anyway, 01419511025. Let's take a look at the situation going on at Rangers, because it's an interesting one, because the Cyril Dessers signing, if it is going to be a signing, has been a long-running one. And this is what happens in this day and age, because people manage to get information from different sources, and then you hear about links from way before deals are even done. So at this point, there would be no one panicking or anything, maybe not even know about Cyril Dessers by this point in a transfer if it was a good few years ago. But now, because fans hear about links so early, there's probably some Rangers fans wondering why this one is dragging out a bit, especially when it looked to be a done deal earlier this week.
Yeah, I think the one that will be a bit frustrated will be the Rangers manager, because he's wanting to get his players in the building.
The thing is, it could be a done deal and they've just not done the official announcement.
As I said, it's not a case now of... There's a lot of stuff to be sorted out before contracts are signed. Sometimes there can be a hiccup somewhere along the line that there's another party that doesn't agree, or it could be something like that. But I think that the Rangers fans are very confident in what Rangers are doing. I think, obviously, they've brought in five players already. I think Michael Beale, as I said, he's starting to rebuild that squad. He wants as many in the building as quickly as he possibly can. because he wants to obviously prepare and have everybody working together. And it'll be interesting to see if they can get it over the line the next couple of days, Andrew. But I wouldn't be, if I was Rangers fans, I wouldn't be really panicking now. I think
does it help as well the fact that there is already five signings in the door? If Rangers hadn't signed anyone up until this point, and then there was a transfer saga, if you want to call it that, or something that was being drawn out longer than Rangers fans had hoped, then if there was no signings in the door, there would maybe be a bit more concern.
I think there'd be a big concern. I think you're right in that. But when you go for targets, to get five in already is good business. And the way I like the way that Rangers and Michael Beales went about this is, he's went in early. He's not waiting to, you know, 2 weeks before the season, then all of a sudden try to plan everything together. He's already got five new faces in the door. He'll be working day to day with them. Yes, I think that like all managers, especially if you're rebuilding and the players that you've lost in the summer, you're wanting more in. And I will imagine that Rangers will certainly be doing more transfer business in the coming weeks.
01419511025 on the phones. Archie is a Rangers fan in Partick. Archie, how are you tonight?
I'm good, yourself?
Oh, good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I was speaking to the boy there before I came on. I was just talking about, I'm actually quite happy that Rangers has come back. I think that, irrespective of where he's a top manager, I think he should never get back, and I think it's to your advantage. I think he's came back to Celtic for fundamentally the money, and that's it. I think when you leave Celtic, he's done amazing things at Celtic. He really done three trebles. He'd have got three trebles, and obviously it was a failure in Europe, but to go to the Premiership for that, then, you know, top managers and top people sort of always people involved as managers to go to there. I think he was a fraud with Leicester. I think he was dishonest there. He lost heart. To come back to Celtic, I think it's just about the money.
I mean, did he not do quite well at Leicester? He had 2 5th place finishes, won an FA Cup and a Community Shield and a European semi-final. But just on your point in terms of, you know, you don't think anyone should ever go back. Walter Smith had a very good second spell at Rangers, didn't he?
I think 10-20 years ago was different from now. I think the whole dynamics are where Rangers were. And where Celtic are now, I think it's totally different. I think when you look at the Premiership, when Walter Smith, when he left, came back to the Premiership, when you leave Celtic and go to the Premiership now, the Premiership's totally different from Walter Smith's day. I think Brendan Rodgers, listen, I mean, he's a top manager. I mean, it's no sour grapes. He's done amazing at Leicester, but I think he stayed. He overstayed his welcome for the fact that he lost heart with Leicester. He stayed for the money. You know, these guys, when you fail, when you come to a failure point, you still get millions of payoff. Like guys that work hard, if you don't do your job in the real life, in real living, you get sacked, but you get millions of pounds as you come back.
Well, do you not think Brendan Rodgers was trying towards the end of his spell at Leicester?
Totally not. I think he'd lost heart because he wasn't getting the money he wanted the final season. So you could see he'd lost heart. I think he's always been a fraud. I've never trusted him.
I don't know if we need to use the word fraud, but there's no way of gauging whether Brendan Rodgers had lost heart at Leicester or why he was there as the manager. So, sometimes as a manager you find success and then sometimes it fades out. It happens quite often that things go stale for various reasons, but he did find success at Leicester in the same way that he found success at Celtic in his first spell. So it's now a waiting game to see whether he can replicate that again.
I think he's in a different position, obviously, Andrew, because he's come back under different circumstances. But I don't really agree with Archie. I think that he's coming back as a more experienced manager as well. He knows the Scottish game. He dominated it here when he was the manager of Celtic the first time. He's walking into a club that are, you know, securing players and top players. And he's walking into a team that won the treble last year. So the only difference with Brendan Rodgers for me this time is because of what happened, then he's under pressure to get results. But Brendan Rodgers is a very, very good manager, very experienced manager. And yes, you can have a look at one or two of the jobs, Leicester near the end of his reign down there. But all managers have went through that. But I think that the board, if I was sitting in the Celtic position, I think the board went for the best candidate. And I think Brendan Rodgers will have everything to prove.
Archie, on Michael Beale. And on Rangers, what have you made of the transfer business so far, and where are your confidence levels in Rangers being able to, you know, topple Celtic next season? Do you think it's they'll be able to do it?
I'll be honest, it's really difficult. I really don't pay a lot of attention to it, because I think that there's that many players that you don't even know. It's like last season, you're Matondo and all these people. I just like to let things play out. I think, a couple of years ago, right, I think when we won the league, you know, I used to phone in all the time, speak to Gordon, that I think, and like myself, I thought we were like 2 or 3 years ahead of Celtic. And a lot of guys came in and said they were 5 years ahead of Celtic. When Postecoglou came in, pre-season, everybody thought, an unknown, nobody knows him, sort of laughing at it. And he's, look what he done. So I think, I really don't look at that. I just like to let things play themselves out, because nobody knows. People, you know, players can hit the ground running, and they can click or they don't click. So I really don't pay too much attention. I just like to see things sort of processing on the park and evolving the park and see what happens, because it's you can have an opinion of things, but nobody knows, because I think everybody in their granny a couple of years ago thought that Rangers would have won the league for about 4 or 5 years in a row when Postecoglou came in. So I really don't know these players, so I'd really, it's difficult to even have an opinion on them about Ode. I don't like Michael Beale. I think.
Why not?
It was I said to the boys when I came on, it was second command to Steven Gerrard. For me, he was a failure, even though he stoked 10. I mean, Celtic capitulated. We won one trophy, 9. It's like, what's the guy who was with Man United? What's his name again? Who's been a failure as a manager for every club? Alex Ferguson, second in command. What's his name again?
Hey, well, Mike Phelan
McLaren.
Steve McLaren, who's been a great second in command, but see, when it comes to being a manager.
Steve McLaren's had an all right managerial career.
Archie, surely you got to give Michael Beale an opportunity. He came in a difficult time. He only brought in, I think, 2 players in January. He's got to the summer. He's lost a lot of good players. A very good, you know, a bunch of guys that knew how to get success, especially in the European campaign as well, and a terrific goalkeeper in McGregor. So he's bringing in his own players now. He'll have probably his own style that he wants to go and play, the sort of football that he wants to attract at Rangers. So surely you've got to give him a bit of leeway here and say, right, okay, we don't know how these players are going to react. Of course you don't, but at least give him the opportunity to go out there and prove that he was the right candidate for a job.
No, I'll be honest with you. See, about 18 months, see, before, 6 months before Van Bronckhorst got sacked, mm-hmm. I spoke to Kenny Miller on the summer show, irrespective of the European running stuff, and I knew he just didn't have the stature for me, right? I'm old school. And I spoke to Kenny Miller about your Terry Butchers, your Barry Ferguson, just the whole, even though the managers and players, see the stature. He was too nice. There's something just no. For me, he's not got that grit. See that Walter Smith thing? That grit and that stature that people need to top the backside. He's not got that for me. So, see, for me, when I looked at Van Bronckhorst and I look at Michael Beale, for me, I wouldn't be frightened. I know playing well. He's not got that. He doesn't install that fear factor. Postecoglou, Martin O'Neill, you know, Lennon. See all these last Celtic managers? They've got something about them that you'd be frightened of letting them down. They've got that, they put fear in you. See all the managers we've had the last few years, they've been horrific. You know,
Gordon, how important do you feel that is in modern football, of players to be frightened of managers? Is there not quite a lot of examples of managers who have a dynamic with players who they're able to get on with, rather than, you know, living in fear of playing badly for the manager?
I don't think it's being frightened. I think it's a bit of respect. You know, stature-wise, Postecoglou, I think there's a few, the press, when they would begin to interview him, I think they respected him very well and watched what they were asking him at times, because he knew how to handle himself, Postecoglou. I just think they've been a wee bit unfair in Michael Beale. He was brought in because he's not known for, you know, you're talking different leagues when you're talking guys like Walter Smith. You're talking absolutely different leagues. But Beale is brought in because of his ability as a coach. Now, he will get the respect if he can get out in that training ground, treat everybody with the same respect that he wants back for himself, organise, You know, start getting results, start winning games, start playing attractive football, because I think that's important to Rangers as well. And hopefully his players hit the ground running. But you've got to earn that respect, and I think Michael Beale has that in his locker. I just think he needs a chance.
There was an interesting quote I saw from Ridvan Yilmaz, and he was talking about the difference between Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Michael Beale, and I've got it here, and he says... talking about Van Bronckhorst, he says, "We were more like friends with him. He used to joke with us. Michael Beale, who's currently the coach of the team, is a bit more serious." And I think some people wondered how Michael Beale would transition from being first team coach, where you are more a link between the manager mm-hmm. and the players, to being a manager in your own right. But that certainly seems to suggest that he's either changed his tone, or he's maybe... you know, trying to command that respect that Archie or yourself is talking about.
He still has to get out there and prove it. He's not been in the management game a long time. Obviously, he had that short spell with QPR. He's came to Rangers and, you know, the expectations are very high, especially after what Celtic achieved last year. So I think he's got the ability in the coaching-wise, and I think if you can get round about your players, because it was well known that Ange Postecoglou wasn't really a guy that would go out and be on the training ground every single day and working with his players. I think Michael Beale is. I think he's different. All managers have got their own style. Martin O'Neill, I remember, because I was a manager when Martin O'Neill was a manager at Celtic, and I always remember speaking to him, and Martin O'Neill was never a great hands-on coach. He was a manager, so there's different ways of getting around and doing it. Michael Beale, I think, just needs about an opportunity. He's got his five players in now. He's hoping to add to that. It's a big rebuilding job. There's no doubt on that for me. But I think he just needs the opportunity and the support from the Rangers supporters to say, right, OK, that's what you've been brought in for. Go and try and get us success. And I think you've got to give him that time this season.
Well, thank you to Archie, 01419511025, if you want to be up next. But let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
The Cash Register.
Clyde One.
Well, what is going on in the cash register? Yesterday it went to voicemail, and today it went to five rings. Terrible news for whoever missed those two calls, but it's good news for you because all of the entries have rolled over to tomorrow. Gary Spence will be making the next cash register call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, and the amount you need to remember is £35,000. Enter now for your chance to win. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. You don't want to miss this call. Make sure your phone is on, get the volume up, answer within five rings, and make sure you know that cash register amount, which is £35,000. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2, or you can give us a call, 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all entries since Yvonne won on Tuesday have rolled over. All the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So for your chance to win £35,000, text YES to 61025. Good luck.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL in the studio with me, Andrew McLean, and you can join us as well. 0141 951 1025. There was a couple of other bits of news today, some transfer news. St Mirren have completed the signing of Northern Ireland international Conor McMenamin from Glentoran, who I think has been a long-term target for Stephen Robinson. He'll be keen to add some firepower, especially with Curtis Main departing this summer.
Yeah, it's very difficult for clubs like St Mirren. You look at the club that I support as well, Motherwell, losing Van Veen, the amount of goals. It's very hard to replace them. But Stephen Robinson has been terrific since coming back to St Mirren. He'll be looking for another big season next year. So it'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure that the fans certainly enjoyed the brand of football under Stephen Robinson as well. So they'll be looking for a big season.
Yeah, his recruitment has been very good. He's got a lot of plaudits for that. He does shop in markets that he knows very well, whether it's players he's previously worked with or, you know, guys he knows from around the place. Certainly one of those will be Conor McMenamin, because he's in the Northern Ireland setup. Mm-hmm. Stephen Robinson has been part of that before. There's also Dermot O'Carroll, who is Stephen Robinson's assistant, is currently part of the Northern Ireland setup as well. So is that a big thing of, you know, there's maybe less risk attached to signings if they're players that you've dealt with personally?
Yeah, I think obviously it helps. You know their ability, you know their personality, you know what sort of player, what sort of character you're bringing into your club. So it certainly helps. I think it's a good bit of business for St Mirren. Hopefully for their supporters, he'll score plenty of goals. But as I say, when you're looking at these kind of guys, because of the finances, they're shopping in a different market from obviously the big two in Scotland. But that's where you've got to use your contacts. You've got to, you know, you've got to convince a player to come to a club like St Mirren as well. So it's a good bit of business, and as you said, Andrew, I think that everybody concerned with the club's been impressed with his recruitment.
Yeah, Aberdeen have also completed the signing of Ross Doohan, who was a former Celtic goalkeeper, came through Celtic's youth academy, ended up going down south, was at Forest Green Rovers. He's now signed for Aberdeen. An interesting one, because Kel Roos had a very good end to the season for Aberdeen. Would you expect that Ross Doohan's maybe going in as a backup option, or one to challenge Kel Roos?
I think probably he'll be going in as a backup, because the Aberdeen goalkeeper was excellent last year. He'll be certainly the number one, especially with the way they finished as well. But it's up to, that's where the challenge is. You, as a player, that's what you've got to have. You've got to have the challenge. You've got to have backup, because you never know, you could pick up an injury or whatever it may be. You just look at Craig Gordon, you know, at Hearts, and things like that can happen in the game. So you need a good backup. You need a good bit of experience here as well.
That's where Hearts had done well last season, was Xander Clark.
Xander Clark, yes. Xander Clark was excellent when he came in. Waited his chance. So it's more difficult, obviously, for a goalkeeper, because it's the one position. It's only one position. You've got to hope that the number one goalkeeper loses a bit of form. It gives you that opportunity again and show what you can do. Or you don't like to see him being injured, but players do get injured. But you have to be ready. You have to be on the ball, and you have to be willing enough to sit there and be patient, especially if you're going in as a backup goalkeeper, and hope you do get an opportunity.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Jim is a Rangers fan in Aberfoyle. Jim, how are you?
Not so bad, yourself?
Yes, all good, all good.
I can understand the last caller's apprehension about Michael Beale. I have to agree with him. Because Van Bronckhorst came in and took what Gerrard and Beale left behind, took them to a European final and won the Scottish Cup. Michael Beale failed miserably last season, in my opinion.
But then Giovanni Van Bronckhorst took over a squad that had just won the league title, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And were also top of the Scottish Premiership at that point, and didn't then go on to win the league title. So there's a couple of ways you could look at it.
Here's another question I'll ask you, Jim. These two players you brought in, Raskin and Cantwell, you must have been impressed with those two players.
Yes, but what players did they actually improve that were already in the squad?
Well, Sakala. Sakala played very well under Michael Beale. I thought
howlers against Celtic. Howlers against Celtic, Gordon.
Yeah, but I thought. Look, I said
there's also a difference between generally playing at a better standard and just missing two big chances, because that can happen. But you would say that what Fashion Sakala was a better player. Did Malik Tillman also have a stronger end to the season than he did at the start of the season?
I totally take on board, because I've heard this argument before about some Rangers fans aren't convinced with Michael Beale. Now, I don't know if Michael Beale's going to be the answer that's going to win the league or win cups or whatever, but I just think he's got to get a fair crack at the whip. He's brought in two players in January, and I think the Rangers fans were impressed. He's now he's nearly six signings. He's hopefully trying to get one over the line and get that done. I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt and then basically judge on what he achieves next year. There's no doubt, I totally agree with Jim, that next year's a big season for Michael Beale. There's no doubt in that. But I think he's got to be given the chance, first and foremost. I think very quick to judge it. And as I say, it's going to be a big season for him.
Yeah, Jim, you look at the overhaul or the rebuild, the revamp, whatever you want to call it, that's going on at the moment. Five signings in already. Michael Beale's looking to make, you know, a few more. Does that not maybe show that the players that were there last season aren't players that, you know, Michael Beale thinks are suited to his style?
A lot of those players were left over from the Gerrard and Beale era. I mean, see, every player that they bought Van Bronckhorst last summer was either crop or got crop throughout the season.
But then Michael Beale is now his own man, isn't he? He's now the number one, so he's doing it all by himself. He'll have his own methods. Yes, he was obviously a huge part of what happened, you know, a few years ago under Steven Gerrard, but he'll want to now develop the team in his own way. And you'd think, is it not quite clear the fact that he's now decided that he's had a chance to look at these players and thought, well, you know what? He doesn't think those specific players are up to it. Some may move on, but he's decided that the players he's bringing in are the ones that he wants to move forward with.
I mean, I hope I'm totally wrong, but I really, really have reservations. If we don't qualify for the Champions League, then he's going to be under serious pressure.
Will he be under serious pressure, Gordon, if he doesn't qualify for the Champions League? When you look at what Rangers did in the Europa League a couple of years ago, yes, it would be a disappointment for Rangers if they didn't make it into the Champions League group stages, but you can still go far in the Europa League, and it created some fantastic moments.
Memories,
for Rangers fans.
Yeah, Europe's obviously very important to the clubs for finances, there's no doubt in that. But I just think because of the return of Brendan Rodgers, that after last year, Celtic, you know, winning every trophy, getting the treble, I think it's his bread and butter this year for me. I think the Rangers fans will be expecting a real challenge for the league. And that's where he comes under a little bit of pressure. I agree with Jim. I think that all managers, when you come in, it's a risk and you're bringing in new players and they're changing some of the players at the club. Because if you look at the majority of these boys that have left, they were terrific. You know, terrific servants for Rangers, very good players, very experienced players. So it's a freshness, it's a new way forward for Michael Beale. But I still think that he's got to get that bit of time, and I think he'll certainly get it because the board look like they're backing him now, and then it's up to him to prove if he's going to be a top-class manager.
When you talk about managers having that time, how important are A, manager having a full pre-season, which he's not had, and B, having a full summer transfer window, you know, because we're in an industry where, you know, managers get sacked left, right and centre and get judged straight away. But as someone that's been a manager, you would want to be judged after you've had that period of pre-season and once you've been able to get the squad looking like what you want to get it looking like in that full summer transfer window.
That's why I think that Michael Beale and the Rangers board have moved quick to get some signings in, because you have to give them every opportunity to knit everything together, Andrew, because it is a massive season next year for Rangers. They don't want to see Celtic and Brendan Rodgers lifting another treble. So they've got to hit the ground running, and you give yourself a better platform if you get your players in early, the right players that you want, and then it'll be up to Michael Beale to show the style of football. I was critical of him when he came in because I didn't think the style of football was that great, but he's got to get his own players in, and he's starting to do that now.
Well, sadly, that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you to Jim, and thank you to everyone else that phoned in tonight. Thank you for listening in at home, and to those who tweeted as well. Thank you very much to Gordon DL in the studio. I'll be back tomorrow night. It will be Jim Duffy that's in the studio with me, but stay right there because Callum Gallagher is up next. He's joined by special guest Joseph on the show.